This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hilger.
Let your future and faith come alive here at the Light.
To me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And I do want to thank all of you who moved. Y'all did good. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Now, Romans chapter 10, because we're going to tie in some lessons together today because of the assignment that I have from the Lord on teaching this thing on shame. Verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, everybody say on him, shall not be ashamed. So whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever what? Believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now go to Romans chapter, I mean go to Psalms 31. Psalms 31 verse 1 says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. It's a choice. Let me never be ashamed. Watch this. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Not my own righteousness, but thy righteousness. Now here's what we're going to talk about. We just finished four lessons on living beyond the intimidation of shame. This second division is going to be confident living beyond shame. Living with confidence beyond shame. Now, last week, Dr. I skillfully taught on, last 2 weeks, on the value of favor, the grace of God. And what I want to do is tie that into this confidence thing, because shame, experiencing shame and humiliation is something that's common to the human experience. Everybody has done something they don't want nobody to know about or ever to bring up again. Can I get a better amen than that? All right. So, you know, shame is like being burned. If you've ever been burned, fire burns you. Then you're always cautious around fire. Why? Because you don't want to be burned again. Well, that's the way shame is. Shame is like a cloud that hangs over you that you never want to sense that pain, emotional pain from shame again. You just never want that. And so you live a life of caution instead of a life of confidence. And what God wants us to do is to live a life of confidence based on a promise that he'll never let us be brought to shame. Need a better amen than that, but that's all right. That's all right. That's good. We're good. Let me give a brief review of where we've come from on shame so we can move forward. Because when I show you from the scripture how this thing works, And in life, when you're getting ready to make a decision, the devil comes back and brings up that shame pain. And it causes you to be very cautious in making righteous decisions. Because I don't want to be hurt again. I don't want to be shamed again. What if this thing doesn't work out? All right? Now, that's one aspect. The other aspect we're going to get to is when it comes to just trusting God. Everybody say trusting God. Yeah, it come to trusting God. Then the devil wants to come in and say, can you really trust him? Because if he doesn't come through, you're going to be made shame. You follow me? So you're worrying about something you really have no business to worry about. Because he already promised you, I'm not going to let you be brought to shame. But yet you're spending, you know, sleepless nights taking Valium and everything else to try to calm your nerves. All because of the fear of shame, embarrassment, and humiliation. Watch this. The possibility of it. It hadn't happened. But see, a devil don't play fair. And when you're going through a situation, what he does is, I told you, he got the Rolodex of all my shame moments. He pulls out the Rolodex and reminds you of what happened here, what happens there, what happened here, what happened there. Why? Because he's trying to intimidate you not to have confidence in God. I'm on assignment this morning. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're worrying about a potential shame, you know, encounter that the devil has painted in your mind. And when that's there, you can't have confidence toward God. And it's something, I'm going to get you over the hump tonight. Today. I'm going to get you over the hump so quickly, so easily, you know, when I show you scripturally the whole thing. Now, the whole reason I read this and we went through it slowly about, he said, deliver me, watch this, in thy righteousness. See, what happens is the devil makes you think that you got to do it. No. He makes you think it's all on you. But your deliverance is not about you. Your deliverance is about him. So watch this. He gonna protect me. Not because of my righteousness, not because of my goodness, not because I've done everything so perfectly. I've done the best I could, but that's not the basis of my deliverance. That's not the basis of my protection. Watch this. That's not the basis of his grace. He's going to be good to me because he loved me. Watch this. And I can't do nothing about it. I don't think you heard, but I'm going to preach over here. I saw the most hands over here. Y'all more spiritual. No, I got something, see. The reason he ain't going to let me fall, it ain't because I've done everything just right. But he's not going to let me fall. No, let me let. He's not going to let you fall because he loves you. Amen. Now let's see if we can't build on that the rest of the way. We said shame is this intensifying, demoralizing emotional pain caused by consciousness of guilt or dishonor, defeat, failure, shortcoming. It's a feeling of humiliation. Everybody said the pain of humiliation. It's like a dark cloud that follows you. A thunder cloud that follows you that could rain on your parade anytime. You follow me? And it's something that you don't want to happen. Now, we talked about being made ashamed. It's when I receive shame. All right? When I receive it, that's who I am. Being ashamed defines you. It says, yeah, it causes me to be stigmatized. I don't feel I have any value. That's why this happened to me. Bad stuff what always happened to me. I don't even really believe God loves me. I don't believe nobody else loves me, care for me. And so when I'm ashamed, I let it define me. I become depressed, devalued. I even talk against myself, demean myself. So what the previous lesson was about how to remove the pain of past shame situations or emotional situations through the blood of Jesus, which we looked at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. And there it says about how the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our conscience from, purge our conscience from good works. Dead works. All right, let's go there quickly because I need to touch this, but I don't want to stay too long. How much more, verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So that's the power in the blood of Jesus. Most people, even in church people, talk about the blood of Jesus, but they don't understand its power. It has a purifying power whereby it's able to cleanse my mind, my emotions from pain. And I apply it through the words of my mouth. We talked about that. So you get the previous division of shame and you'll understand that. But where we want to go today is we want to look at how to live free from thinking another situation is going to bring up humiliation and pain and of shame into my life. And so it allowed me to live free. Everybody say live free. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Only a couple of good points today. And one point is the demonic manipulation of my future. The demonic manipulation of my future. And that is, that's what the devil wants to do. And most believers are under spiritual attack and don't realize it. And so when they're under spiritual attack and don't realize it, they don't know how to fight. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 teaches us about spiritual warfare. Everybody say spiritual warfare. All right, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Verse 11, I should have started there, says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil." Everybody say tricks of the devil. All right, now, so then I understand there is the reality of spiritual adversary, that you have a spiritual adversary. There's more to life than what you physically see. There is a spiritual world. What do you mean spiritual world? There's a world of the spirit that is revealed in the scripture. Now, before they created the microscope, they did not know anything about biology or microorganism, but once it was created and they could then look through the telescope, they could see that there was more to the eye than was physically seen. So the Bible reveals to us this spirit world that exists. The Bible says when God created the world, he created two arenas, a spiritual world that I can see, a spiritual world that I cannot see, and a natural world that I can see. God is spirit. He occupies the realm of the spirit. Not only is he there, but the Bible says that the demons are there, angels are there as well. So go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I've got to understand now how this attack comes so I'll know when I'm under attack. And when I'm under attack, I'll need to fight back. Everybody say, it'll be time, let's fight. Everybody say, I need to know when to fight back. I need to. Yeah. And most believers don't fight back. Just let the devil whoop them upside the head and then they want to be a victim and feel sorry for themselves. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, verse 7, "Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists, steadfast in the faith, knowing," everybody say knowing. See, I got to resist knowing. Everybody say resist knowing. All right. "Knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace," our God, there it is, "who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, fought a while, make you perfect, strengthen you, establish, strengthen, settle you." Amen. So the whole point I got to understand is this fight with the devil is going to end. If I resist him, he must flee from me. Amen. All right. So how does he fight? He fights, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. "You are probably sitting here under spiritual attack." Amen. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you are. Yeah. Because devil don't play fair. But see, he's not fighting. He don't show up with a pitchfork and horns. But he fights in the arena of your thought life. Verse 16. "Above all." Now, remember the scripture I read first. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? So you'll understand the tricks of the devil. Then it goes on to say, "Above all now, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." A fiery dart, listen to me, hunch the person next to him, say, get this. A fiery dart is a thought. It is a demonic thought. It is a thought that I will take. If I take that thought by saying it, if I take the thought, then watch this, he's able to manipulate my life. So the devil does not show up with a pitchfork and horns and a red suit, but he shows up in my thought life to talk me out of believing God, to talk me out of believing the scripture so that I will have a pessimistic, negative view of myself, my situation, and others. Amen, amen. And if you're sitting here today, and I know you are, because that's why God got me teaching this message. You're sitting here today, and you've been hearing thoughts, or been hearing thoughts, and these thoughts have been crossing your mind about your situation not working out favorably. Your situation not working out like the scripture says. You are under spiritual attack. Amen, amen. If you're sitting here worrying today about something God has said in his word that he's going to do, but you don't know how he's going to do it. So instead of trusting him, you trusting yourself because you believe you got to think through this thing yourself. You are under spiritual attack. But that's all right. You're in the right place at the right time because I'm here to show you how to fight. If you're watching this, watch this, and the same thing is going on in your head, it is not coincidental that God's got you watching this message. You are under spiritual attack that can be stopped. Amen. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench every fiery dart, every contrary and negative thought, because the devil, watch this, is attempting to steal your joy. Oh, I don't think you got that. Yeah, yeah. No, he's trying to steal your joy. He cannot keep you out of heaven, but he's happy when you are not joyful and at peace. And you can't be at peace when you think something negative is going to happen down the road. Amen. But the difference between happiness and joy is different. It's easy. See, happiness is based on right now circumstance. Joy is based on what I know. So nothing can steal my joy if I know the right thing. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see if we can go to it. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Good news is you're coming out. Yeah, yes you are. Yes you are. Good news, you're coming out. Good news is we're going to have a grace moment in just a moment. You're going to leave that thing here. You're going to walk out of here confident toward God. You're going to tell yourself you got confidence in God. You're going to declare you got confidence in God. Watch this. And the cloud that has been following you won't follow you anymore. Watch this. Ooh, yeah. Amen. Everybody say, I'm glad I came to church today. I'm glad. All right, verse 11 says, let's say that you get the advantage of us because we're not ignorant of his devices. So God said, God don't want the devil to have advantage, taking advantage of you because he don't want you to be ignorant of his devices. So what does the devil try to do? Because you're going to be able to find yourself in this list. And if you find yourself in this list, you'll know for sure you're under attack. He intends to cause discouragement. He intends to cause discontentment. And that is, he wants you to be uneasy, dissatisfied with your state. He wants to cause your distress till you can't handle this. He wants to cause you to devalue yourself. Your life doesn't matter. You ain't all that important. If you was important, why are you going through all of this? Why did God let all this happen? He wants to cause destruction. Everybody say destruction. Now, destruction, he wants to cause suicide. No, he wants you to contemplate destroying yourself. And the Lord told me he would have people in here today. He drew you here because you've thought about ending it all. All I need church to do is just pray for you. Because you thought about ending it all. But the Lord drove you here to hear this message because you need to understand that that's the voice of the enemy. Trying to convince you, watch this, that your life is not worth much. Nobody's going to miss you anyway. And after all, this is the way out. That's a lie from the devil. That's not the way out. Amen. And watch this. You are valuable. Your value is not based on the stuff you've been through. Your value is based on price paid. Everybody say price paid. Yeah, and he gave his life for you, so that means you are worth something. It's based on possession owned. Everybody say, possession owned. Yeah. No, see, if I own something and I'm somebody, then that thing becomes valuable. All right. For instance, you know, a famous person owns something. Like Michael Jackson owned that glove, you understand? And if you find that glove worth something, you understand? It's just a regular sequence glove. But it's worth a whole lot because he owned it. Yeah. Well, since God owns you, you're worth something because of who owns you. Everybody say, because who owns me? Yeah. Yeah, so it's based on price paid. It's based on whose possession I am. It's based on the potential I have. You ain't seen everything God's going to do in my life. So I'm precious to the kingdom of God because he's got more in me than has already manifested. Ah, glory to God. Amen. And you know, that's the reason they pay these athletes coming out of college. They pay them millions of dollars. It ain't based on what they performed. They have not even performed at the professional level. But they got potential. Amen, amen. They got potential. And watch this. What I'm telling you is you've got. And that's what makes you valuable in the kingdom of God. Because you may not have demonstrated it yet, but it's on the inside of you. Because God don't make junk. I think we ought to have us a grace moment right there. Thank God for his grace. Amen. All right. Y'all stop. Y'all take my time. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I got to remember that self-indictment is what the devil is looking for. He's looking for this self-indictment of shame situation. Everybody say self-indictment. He wants me to get on me. Yeah, he wants me to get on me. It's not about what other folk are saying about me. His aim is to get me to devalue myself. And we take the thought by saying it. Woo, preach, pastor, hear you preach. Yes, indeed. All right, watch this. 1 John chapter, what I tell you?
Three.
Look there now, because I want you to see this. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Hush the person next to him. Okay, got to get this. This is a powerful principle. He says, watch this. If your heart don't condemn you, then you can have confidence toward God. You don't even go to the Greek. You don't need to go to the Hebrew or the Shebrew. That's such an easy passage. If your heart doesn't condemn you, then you'll have confidence toward God. Well, how will I know what's in my heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the content of my heart is really exposed by the words that are coming out of my mouth. Now, let's take that same scripture. So if my heart is condemning me, I cannot have confidence toward God. If my heart is condemning me, how will I know my heart condemns me by what I'm saying out of my mouth? When I start talking about how bad things are for me, and it always happens to me, and nothing ever turns around. I take one step forward and I two steps backwards. You know, I was just saying, everybody else in my family, they've moved on, but look where I am. You are condemning yourself. And with that kind of condemnation, based on this scripture principle, you cannot have confidence toward God. So without confidence toward God, who am I going to have confidence in? I got to put it in myself. And if I put it in myself and I'm condemning myself, where's my victory? Are y'all getting this? Yeah, this is simple, but it's so powerful. And I hear it all the time, how folk don't start talking themselves down. And you cannot have faith. You cannot have confidence. You cannot believe God's going to bring you out while you got your mouth condemning yourself. Because the scripture says, if your heart condemns you, you can't have confidence toward God. But if my heart condemns me not, because I have been working on my heart, I don't care what I'm facing, I got confidence in God. I got confidence. Look at the person, next person, I'm coming out. Yeah, I'm coming out. Not only I'm coming out, I got God helping me. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. Better than I was before all this foolishness happened. Better than I was before the attack on my mind. Better than I was before the attack on my emotions. Better than I was before the attack on my finances. Why? It ain't about me. It's about an all-powerful, loving God, and I'm coming. Yes, indeed. No, no, you got to talk to yourself. You got to tell yourself. You got to, you can't wait till you get to church. Ah, glory to God. Have me a grace moment right up in here for myself. My father went to the hospital years ago for something simple. Had a stroke on the operating table. Never recovered. So when I'm getting ready, you know, I'm in my fight, you understand? And so the devil comes to me and says, it's going to be just like your dad. You'll never be the same. When you get under the anesthesia, you don't know what happened. I say, you going to pull that on me? You really think you're going to pull that on me? I don't just teach this, I live it. I walk through stuff. And I told the devil, I told myself, I'm coming out better. Self-indictment. Everybody say self-indictment. Yeah, that's what the devil wants. He wants self-indictment. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to join in with him. I refuse to. Think of a person that said, if you ever hit me, going through self-condemnation, would you please stop me? I give you permission now to slap me upside the head. Oh, no, you might not want to say that. You might not want to say that. You might not want to say that. But if you knew how deadly what you were saying is, you wouldn't mind somebody slapping you upside your head to get you back on track. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. The attack of the devil is to affect your timing. Everybody say timing. So I hesitate when I ought to move. It affects my thinking. He wants me to embrace impossibility thinking than favor thinking. It affects my tongue. He wants me to buy in to his pessimistic thoughts with my mouth. It affects my temperament. Everybody say temperament. My attitude, he wants me to walk around with a victim attitude. Walk around pitiful so folk can feel sorry for me. There's not enough sorrow to get me where I'm trying to go. Hey, glory. James chapter 1. I got to give you a scripture on this so you understand it. Just because everybody said the power is in the word. Yeah, the power is in the word. That's what it is. All right, verse 2. You don't have to go far in the book of James. Brethren, my brethren, my brethren, my brethren, my sistering, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this. Everybody say, it's about what you know, what you know. It's about what you know, it's about what you know. And what you have to do is, you got to remind yourself what you've forgotten. No, no, you got to remind yourself of what you've forgotten. You got to remind yourself what you waved your hands at in church. You got to remind yourself of what this word says. I got to remind myself of what I've already known, but I let slip. Amen. Amen. I'll leave out of here joy. Situation ain't changed, but I got my joy back. Hey, glory. I got hurt. Romans chapter 8. And I don't get to my, I just get to my second point because y'all took me off track, so that's all right. Is that right? Yeah. If I save somebody's life, it's worth it, though, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there is the divine moment of the Father. Everybody say the divine moment of the Father. Hush the person next to you and say, get this. Now, here's the divine moment. Divine moment is this moment right now where God is talking to you. Yeah, it's a divine moment now because God has arrested your attention for the moment. And for the moment now, he's infused another thought in you. Yeah, glory. Before you got in here, you had all these other thoughts. But through this moment, everybody say this moment. This moment, he's been able to give you an alternative thought. And this alternative thought is what he's able to do. You've been looking at all of the negative and the pessimism and all what could happen wrong. But now it's a divine moment because God has stepped in and now he's showing you possibility. Yeah. What's possible when he steps in? What's possible when you trust him? Are you getting this now? All right, now watch this. Romans chapter 8 and look there in verse 28. And either I'm going to believe it or I'm not going to believe it. All right, verse 28 says,
And we know
that word is. What is it that I know? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you love God?
Yes.
Are you the called?
Yes.
Well, whatever's happening, he's going to make it work together for your good. Watch this. And since what I'm going through going to work together for my good, I might as well have joy right now. It may look bad on the outside, but I know something. I know some other folk don't know. I know that the master plan of God, he's working things together. I'm coming out better. It's working out for my good. I think we need a grace moment right here. I think we need a thank you, Lord, moment right here. Working together for my good. It don't look good right now, but he's working it together for my good. So the devil can't steal my joy based on how it looks because of what I know. I know some. Give a person a high five. Tell them I know some. I know some. That's why I cannot be sad because I know some. That's why I can't cry right now because I know some. Yeah, glory to God. Amen. That's why I got pep in my step because I know something. Don't say that. I know something. Come on, I got to get one more. Come on now, come on. Some of y'all got your joy back, didn't you? Somebody just got their joy back because this is a divine moment. You got your joy back. Yeah, I know something. Let me give you one more point. We'll cover this next part. Now we're next part next week. But I got to give you this. I got to give you this. Woo. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I know something. Hey, glory. See, there may be some things I don't know. For those things, I trust him. I don't think you got it, I think. Yeah, there are some things I don't know. But what I do know causes me to trust him in situations that I don't know. So I maintain my peace and I maintain my rest because I know victory, watch this, is mine. Yeah. pastors always say, I hear you act like you don't ever have any challenges. I said, man, I have super challenges. But I know something. So ain't no sense me walking around here trying to get sympathy from y'all. I can't be a blessing to you if I let the devil defeat me. Hey, glory. All right, watch this. Verse 7 says, verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Talking about Jesus. See, if I quit worrying about my reputation, it will be most difficult. Everybody say difficult. It will be most difficult for the devil to intimidate me with shame down the road. Why? Because it ain't about me anyway. I already made of myself no reputation. In other words, I really don't care what they say, because my acceptance comes from God alone. Now, let me give you this final scripture in verse 3, John chapter 3 and verse 30. And you might want to pull your shouting shoes off. I shout shoes out on this, and y'all already shouted already, but amen. Now, this scripture is so, it's almost, if the Holy Ghost don't breathe on it, you must go, where is he going with that? Now watch this. Verse 30. This is John talking about Jesus and everything. And he says, watch this. He must increase and I must decrease. Okay, now what am I doing? Quit looking at I. That I got to do it. My faith got to bring it. My seed got to bring it. Thank God for my obedience with my seed. My obedience with my faith. But it ain't resting solely on that. I decrease in the final outcome of what I'm going through. For me to make it, he must increase. In my mind and in my theology, I must decrease. Because it ain't about I. It's about his grace. It's about his mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And it's about his goodness. So when the devil goes in the Rolodex and pull up your bad behavior and pull up your bad thoughts, it ain't about that, Mr. Devil. Because I have decreased. I'm no longer on the throne. He's on the throne, and he is the one who has increased. So my confidence, watch this, is not in me, Jesus. My confidence is in him. I got confidence in his ability. I got confidence in his authority. Are you listening to me? So with my confidence in him, everybody said, this is what I know. With my confidence in that, watch this, I'm not going to let the devil think that I'm in, make me think I'm in this alone. Everybody say, I'm not alone. I don't know how, but he did it. Ain't my first rodeo. He made a way. Anybody in here know what he? He made a way. Don't know how. I've been there before. When my back was against the wall. And some folk thought it was all over. But I just hung in there. Trusting him. He made a way. Don't know how, but he did it. I do know why. That's why I'm grateful. Question is, can you trust him? That's the question. Can you trust him? Can you trust him? If I had time to close, I'd close it, but I don't, so I just have to drop this on you. You have to trust him not knowing. See, real confidence in him is letting him figure it out, not you. Believing it's all working together for my good. So Moses stretches his rod over the sea, commanding it to part, not knowing. But he did it. Gideon takes 300 men and go up against 135,000. And he wins. He goes up not knowing. But God did it. I hope I'm encouraging you today. Mary and Martha moves the stone from their brother's dead grave, who's been there 4 days stinking. They move the stone not knowing. But he did it. The widow fixed her last cake and gave it to the prophet, knowing that that was her last and her and her baby could die. She did it not knowing how God's going to multiply the meal. But he did it. And if he did it for them, he's ready to do it for you. Can we have a grace moment right now where you roll your care on the Lord? I'm not walking out of here with my care. I'm not walking here without a burden on me. I'm not walking here out here without any of that. I'm putting it all on him. I have decreased. My dependence is on him. I have increased my confidence in him. Amen. Everybody standing. I don't want any walking. Please, don't walk. Listen to me.